The youth are free to go back to class this morning. Tater is waiting on you. You know, a lot of times we have tasks that we set our mind on, and as we go through them, interruptions come up. And how we treat the interruptions sometimes is very important. Do we allow them to get us sidetracked? Do we go through them? And Jesus was no different when he walked the earth. He had the same things happen to him that we have happen. So if you would this morning, please stand for the reading of the word if you're able. Be reading out of Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Then Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened in her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. Then he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told him to give her something to eat. And Father, we just thank you and bless you for your word.
Well, good morning. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we had a granddaughter, so that's really exciting. Yeah, yeah. Her name is Daisy. What a pretty name, right? Yeah, I love that name. You know, we've been talking about movement, and it's really the direction for this whole year. And when you think about it, it's like, in order for us to move the way God wants us to move, we need to believe in Christ. We need to believe that he's here with us. We need to believe that he's in us. We need to believe that he guides us. Belief is an important part of movement, wouldn't you say? We can't move if we're not really believing the way we should, believing the truth of the word. You know, I know the disciples didn't have a hard time believing because they saw a lot of amazing things. Before this passage right here, something happened that was pretty amazing. Something that would definitely leave a mark on your memory about the greatness of God. Right before this, they go to this town where they pull their boat up to the edge of the lake, and this guy comes running down to them with an evil spirit in him. To make a long story short, Jesus casts the evil spirit out into 2,000 pigs. The pigs take off, run off a cliff into the lake. And then the people in town said to him, "You know, it'd be nice if you'd leave now, because you just killed 2,000 pigs." So you can imagine what it was like to take that walk out of town and to go down to the boat. And as you all load in the boat and you're rowing off, you look in the distance and you see 2,000 pigs floating and a bunch of people making sure you're leaving. I don't know that we ever put ourselves in that story really to take in the gravity of it. I mean, this guy was terrorizing the town and they wanted him gone. He's fixed, everything's fine, he's healed, 2,000 pigs are laying in the lake. That was the cost of it. And then Jesus and the disciples are rowing out into the lake and everybody's making sure they're not coming back. So now this story. When I say story, I'm not saying it's a story like it's fiction. It's not. It's nonfiction. This is a true story. So we hear this story now of this guy. And as soon as they land on the edge of the lake, this guy Jairus, who's a leader in the synagogue, who probably is very much religiously against Jesus. But he knows that Jesus heals. He knows that Jesus, that there is hope in him, that there is hope for his daughter. And so now I want you to look at a case study in movement for just a minute, what it's like to really walk through real life. Because we have this man whose his daughter's dying. Things are falling apart. I mean, this is like the love of his life is just dying, and he finds himself running up to Jesus and falling on his knees and saying, "My daughter's dying, please do something." Is that what we would all do? We would find ourselves at the feet of Jesus. He didn't even hear about the pig incident. I don't think it reached him yet. But he knew that Jesus is a healer, and he knew he had what he needed, and so he finds himself falling at his knees. I can tell you that during the most difficult times in life, that is the best place to be. That is the best move to ever make, that you find yourself falling before Jesus. So when we talk about movement, we're not just talking about constantly moving through life and like running your way through it. Sometimes you need to fall on your knees. Sometimes you need to fall on your knees and say, "God, I need you right now. Things are falling apart and I need you." You know, he knew that Jesus was going to do something. Jesus went with him. You know, I want you to know something right now, that whatever you're going through, whatever tough thing you're facing right now, that Jesus already made a promise. You don't have to wait to hear his answer like Jairus did. He already made a promise that he goes with us, that no matter what, take heart, he has overcome the world. Whatever issue you're having, he's already won. He's already dealt with it. He already said he'd go with you. He's already in you if you belong to Jesus. He's going with you. There's no question about that. You've been going through this life with him all along. So you don't even have to wait for the answer. You already know the answer. But I can't imagine how his walk changed when he had Jesus walking next to him. Man, when you go to the one who has all the answers, who has all the healing, who has everything that you need, just like we do, you find yourself walking. I can't imagine. He was probably standing tall. He was next to Jesus, and Jesus was going home with him. I tell you, isn't that what we want when we're going through something? We want to know that Jesus is right there, that he says, "I'm going with you. I'm going to take care of stuff." And you know what happens in that moment when you really, truly believe and you understand that? It's like all the stress and all the craziness that's going on in your head about what's going to happen, in this case, what's going to happen to my daughter, all that stuff goes away, and you're just like, you know what, it's okay, Jesus is with me. I'm good. We're going, we're going to handle some stuff. But you know, as you read through this, you'll find out it wasn't just a quick trip. I mean, people were all wrapped around them. They're trying to go through town, and a lady comes up, and she's like, "I know I can get healed if I can just touch his clothes." And so she reaches out and touches, and Jesus stops. And Jairus is probably thinking to himself, "Jesus, why are we stopping?" And he said, "Somebody touched me, like the power went out of me. Somebody did something. I need to know who it was." And Jairus is like, "No, we don't need to know who it is. Let's just go take care of my daughter," right? I mean, isn't that how it is on the trip, right? Like, I don't want to wait. I don't want to have a long, protracted trip to the place where I want to be. I just want it done. But you know, Jesus says this. You know, for some people it's instant, and for other people he walks with them, but he never leaves them. No matter what. No matter if it's done in a moment and fixed right there where you want it, or if he walks with you, it's going to be fixed. It's going to be okay. And you know, the more time Jesus took and the more people wrapped around him and the crazier things got, I can't even imagine what was happening in Jairus' head. Probably the very things that happen in our head when we're wondering, "Where are you, Jesus? Are we not going home? Are we not going to deal with the problem? Are we not going to get an answer to the things we asked about? Are we going to just stand here?" But Jesus wasn't worried about that stuff, and so he takes time and he says, "You know, you're healed. Everything's good. This lady who had this issue of bleeding for 12 years was healed," and I'm sure Jairus on some level was touched about that, but at the same time, he's like, "Okay, we got this done. Let's go home." But you know, before they leave that scene and start to head home, you know, his friends or whoever it is comes and says, hey, your daughter is already dead. Don't bother him anymore. It's over with. I don't know if you ever have, when you've gone through stuff in life, that you've had some people come to you and say, you know what, it's just not going to work out. It's over. Just take your licks. It's the way it happens. But I can tell you, don't listen to those people. Don't listen to them. Jesus said this to the man after he heard this news, and I think he saw the look on Jairus' face, like every last bit of hope, everything that he had, the happiness of being with Jesus and walking back to take care of the issue, I think it all just like drained away from him, like life drained out of him. And Jesus said this. He said, don't be afraid, just believe. That's all you need to do. I'm not asking you to do anything else right now. I know you're not happy. I know that was tough news for you. And for some of you, you've had some tough news. You've dealt with some things you don't want to deal with, some things you heard you didn't want to hear. But Jesus said, don't bother with that stuff. Don't be afraid. Just believe. That's the word to us today. So they take the rest of the walk. And this one, this walk's a little bit different than the one where he just laid at Jesus' feet and then walked onto the house thinking she was just sick. This one's a little harder. And some of you know this walk. It's the walk where you ask Jesus to do some stuff. You haven't seen it happen yet, and you see it getting worse. And now the walk's not quite as exciting as it was before. It's like, yeah, I know Jesus is there, and I know we're going there, and it doesn't look good. And you know, whatever happens, happens. We say that stuff, right? Well, I'll tell you what, whatever Jesus says is what happens. In the end, it's not what we see, because we don't live by sight, we live by faith, you know? It's not what we see, it's what Jesus says it is. And so the walk may have been a little hard, because you can imagine for just a moment, put yourself in his shoes for a second. You're running this stuff through your head thinking, when I get home, I'm going to see my dead daughter. That is a really hard thing. I cannot imagine that. When I get there, she's going to be dead. As a matter of fact, when they get there and they're entering, they're getting close to the house, they hear wailing and all kinds of commotion and stuff happening. Sad stuff is happening at that house. And so the dad is taking all that in. I don't know about you, but I've been in situations before where I heard the wailing and I felt the pain. And everything in me said, it's over. But then there was Jesus standing there all along. And he never left me. He was standing right there walking with me. I used to be really excited about that when things looked good, and now they're not looking so good. The evidence is pointing in the wrong direction. Things look bad. But I still have Jesus. And so they go up there, and he says, hey, everybody, what are you doing? What's all this wailing about? This is what Jesus says. He said, you know, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And the people laughed. And you know what he did to them? He put them out. I'll tell you what, there are some people in your life that are going to tell you, Jesus isn't fixing anything for you. Sometimes we need to put people out. In that moment, I'm not saying defriend them or whatever you're doing, okay? I'm not talking about Facebook, I'm not talking about all that junk. I'm talking about, sometimes it's time to quiet the voices of the people who tell you it's over. It's like you're going to have to leave right now because you're wrecking everything that's happening. Jesus is at work right now, and I don't want to think about what you're talking about. Because it doesn't matter what I see, you know? So he put him out, and he goes in there. And now Jairus is walking a little more upright. He's like, that's right, we sent those people out. That's right, we got business to do. So he goes in there. And, of course, Jesus raises his daughter. One of the most amazing things, and it says he was completely astonished. Let me tell you something. That man never walked the same way again. He never went through life timid again. He never acted beaten down, and he never acted like a victim again. There's something that happens when you see the movement of God in your life and you see the power of God move in front of you, that you absolutely cannot deny that. Those disciples never got the picture of the 2,000 pigs floating in the lake, never got it out of their brain. They remembered it forever. They never forgot the ones who were allowed in. They never forgot the moment that girl got up from being dead. They never forgot the look on the father's face when that happened. I'll tell you what, believing and understanding the power of Christ in your life and everything he's already promised you makes you walk differently. Makes you go through life differently. Makes you stand up straight differently. I'll tell you what, that's what the church needs today. Because you're going through hard things. There are hard things happening throughout this entire place today. And how we walk matters. It is an indication of your level of belief. Because when you know Jesus is with you, when he says, I've overcome the world, what does that mean? He overcame it all. Everything. That what you're dealing with, he knows how to handle evil. He sends it into pigs and makes them jump into a lake. Amen. Right? Amen. Among other things. But I mean, he did that day. The thing about it is, sometimes we need to remember this, and this needs to be really near and dear to our hearts, because to be honest, I've walked through life as a victim before. I walked through life beaten down. I walked through life feeling like I didn't deserve anything. I walked through life taking my lumps. And you know what? I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I'm not doing it anymore. Because tough things happen in this life. It's part of this life. It rains on the just and the unjust. Things just happen here. But I can tell you this, Jesus will always be walking with you. You don't have to wait. You don't have to get to this place where you fall at Jesus' feet and said, will you do it? He said, I've always been there. I never left you. I never left you. I've been in your heart all this time. I've never left you. I've been walking with you. I never stopped. I want you to remember that with every step you take into these tough situations in life. I want you to remember that you never took a step that I didn't take one with you. I know you felt alone. I know you saw things changing. I know you were worried about stuff. I know you saw things that you didn't want to see. I know you saw the events turning and everything going negative and everything was going south. I don't know why everything bad has to be south. We're in the south, but you know what I mean. Things were going south. Things happen like that for you. And you know, in those moments, we get shook. I'll tell you what, nothing shook that man like that news that day. Nothing shakes you when somebody comes up to you and says, your daughter's dead, it's over now. Just go home. Just go home and bury her. I can't imagine that. I can't. But you know, with Jesus, it's never over. And I'll tell you what, I have watched people, and I've even watched myself at times, call things over that weren't over yet. Like I thought things were over and done, and they're not. I thought things that were unrepairable, irreparable, there's the word. And he turned them around and he fixed them. I saw things broken to pieces and shattered before in people's lives, and I watched things that looked like they can never go back together again, like some of the pieces got lost. You ever had a jigsaw puzzle, you lost a few pieces, you don't even want to try to put it together again, you know what I mean? Like, we'll never get it together. I've watched Jesus take stuff like that, that were missing a few pieces, and put a complete picture back together for people's lives. I watched him do it over and over and over because he does the impossible. The question is, do you believe enough for that? Because here's the deal. If you walk through life thinking your puzzle's missing a few pieces, that's kind of funny. You know, she's kind of there, but her puzzle's missing a few pieces, you know. Not like that, okay? Have you ever walked through life feeling like there's just no way God is going to get it back together? There's pieces missing here. You know, don't be bothered by that. Jesus is still walking with you, and he knows how to complete puzzles that are missing pieces. When things get shattered and you're like, there's not really even pieces left, it's just dust. You know what I mean? Like, you can't put the dust back together. Yeah, Jesus puts dust back together. I think some of you guys need to hear this because you're going through some stuff right now that's really, like, hitting every button you have. And I can tell you what, it's okay. You turn around, and for those of you who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you turn to him and say, Jesus, you see what's going on. You know that I need you, and I know you've been walking with me. And I just choose to stand right with you, and we're going to go through this thing together. And I don't expect you to take it all today, but I know that whatever happens on the end of this thing, it's going to be okay. Because, you know, let's go back to the town that lost the pigs for just a second. They were terrorized with this guy. They couldn't go to the tombs. Anyone who would get near there, the guy would come out and attack them. What a crazy situation, right? It's not like they could call the police and say, hey, get rid of the crazy guy up at the tombs. It wasn't like that. That whole thing ended for them. It didn't end the way they thought it would. I don't think anybody saw 2,000 pigs floating in the lake as the end of that whole thing. I don't think anybody ever saw that coming. But the end result was they weren't terrorized anymore. Jesus isn't always going to do it the way you want it done, but he's always going to do it. He's always going to do it. He's always going to see it through. He's always going to meet your needs. He's always going to be there for you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He is going to walk through every situation of your life, no matter what.
Amen.
Do we know that's true?
Yes.
Well, then let's walk like it. Let's walk like it. Let's talk like it. Let's believe it. Because the way you believe is the way you walk. And if I were to ask you right now, what does your walk look like? I don't know. I think we'd get all kinds of answers here today. Some would say, well, I haven't really been walking. I've been crawling. I'm doing the best I can. Some might say, well, I'm kind of scared about what's around the next corner. You know, it's been a little tough. Some might say, well, I'm just kind of over here, and I'm standing, and I'm safe right now. I'm not moving. And for everybody who believes and understands that Jesus is right with them and they can handle anything, they're walking like a boss, right down the middle of it all. I don't know about you, but like I don't want to be standing in the corner, and I don't want to be worried about what's coming around the next corner, and I don't want to walk all timid, like with every step I take, I'm fearful. I've been like that, and I think you've been like that too. I don't think that I'm any different than you. I've been there, and I've done that, and I've had that trouble, and it's like you wake up in the morning, you're like, what's next? Anybody ever done that before, or is it just me? And here's the thing, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to walk like that. I don't want to move like that. That's not a picture of how Christians move. So if we're going to talk about movement, we need to talk about how it is that we move uninhibited, how we move with no limitations, no restrictions. The only way that's going to happen is if you believe in Christ. No other way. Your level of belief dictates the size of your stride. Those two things are like connected perfectly. So I think when you look at your life and you look at kind of where you've been and you look at, you know, the way you've walked through life, for some of you, it's been a pretty timid walk. And our prayer needs to be, God, whatever my issue is and whatever my unbelief is, help my unbelief. That's scriptural. For some of us, we just feel like we've been through so much that we're just not sure and we're just standing still. Lord, help me to move my feet knowing that you're with me. We need to take some time just to be real with God and say, you know what? My walk with you, my movement has been broken up. I've had years where I walked really openly with you, and then there were times I didn't walk at all. And there's some I was just scared to walk. And you know, that's kind of a picture of life. But at some point, once you see the movement of Christ in your life, and you see things happen, and you realize, and it's real to you, and God will do this, through the power of his Holy Spirit, he will make real to you that he is there. You don't have to take my word for it. Let God show you. He will show you. If you pray and say, God, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that you just make it real to me, that you are with me, that you're walking with me, let me know. Oh, he'll let you know. He'll let you know, and you'll get to walk some things out with him. Some people have some unrealistic expectations of God, you know, that somehow he fixes everything immediately. I mean, that would be really awesome. I'll be honest, that would be awesome every time that when I pray, I get exactly what I'm asking for in the moment. But it would never really build my faith. It would never build my relationship with him. I would never get to the place where I'm, you know, as we're walking down the road together, even though it's not necessarily the best, most fun road in the world, that when we walk down this road together, I get to know God better. Did I get a relationship with Jesus Christ? Did I get to know what he's all about? I get to know how he feels about me. I get to watch the daily victories. I don't want to miss out on those things. The walk's really important. The walk's super important. But we don't really care for the walk. Because like Jairus, it starts out on your knees. It starts out, you're doing good. You don't want to wait. Next thing you know, you're not really sure how the whole thing's going to end up. And then at the end, you're just astounded, right? Isn't that how it went? Well, let me tell you something. That's not just Jairus' experience. It's everybody's experience. That's exactly how it rolls. That when you get to the end and you see what Jesus did, you'll be astounded. You'll be astounded. You'll be celebrating. It's going to be a great day. Some of you need to know that right now because you're in the middle of stuff and you've been walking and you've been a little bit timid. Some of you need to know you're getting ready to be astounded. Get ready. Jesus is at work. You know, for some of you today, you've never made that decision for Jesus. You've never said, I'm going to give my life to him so that I can begin that walk with him because I'm tired of walking alone. I'm tired of going through things and crying my way through them and feeling hopeless. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but without Christ, that's exactly what life looks like. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. There may be some here today, you say, I'm ready to begin my walk with Christ because I'm not walking alone. I'm not doing it this way. I am going to pour my heart out to Him. I'm going to stay with Him, and He's going to walk me through this moment that I'm in. If that's where you're at today, and you're ready to make a decision to begin your walk with Him, if you would just lift your hand, I want to pray for you today. Thank you. Thank you. Any more? Thank you. Thank you. I just want to leave you in this prayer, just between you and God. Father God, today I give you my life. I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, into my heart. Father, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life. But today, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and was resurrected for my freedom. Father, I believe. I believe, and I know that He walks with me, and He'll never leave me, and He'll never forsake me. Today, I profess my need for Jesus. Lord, I thank you that my eternity is sealed today in Christ. I thank you that I'm beginning my walk today. Lord, I thank you for my salvation. And I thank you that I can walk without limitation because I'm in your presence. I love you and I thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. There may be some here today who are going through really difficult things. That when I talk about this walk and I talk about how openly we can walk, you're like, you know, I want that more than anything. Like, I'm tired of being scared. I'm tired of running scared. I'm tired of stopping. I'm tired of pulling back. I'm tired of being all timid about the way that I walk my life out because I have had belief issues. If we could just bow our heads and close our eyes just one more moment. There may be some today who say, you know what? I need the reality that Jesus is with me. I need that to be real to me, and I want the Holy Spirit to show me today. Because as I walk through this, I need Him more than I've ever needed Him before. If that's where you're at today, if you would just lift your hand today. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. I want to pray for you today. Father, I thank you that you're always with me. I thank you that you've never left me. Father, for anything in me that just doesn't have this belief that I need to have, Lord, I pray that you help my unbelief. Lord, I pray that you make this a reality in my life, as it always has been, that you've always walked with me. You've always been there. Lord, I pray that I'm no longer scared. Take away any fear that I have, any timid spirit that I have in me about walking because I'm with you. And Lord, I pray that I just enjoy the walk with you, Lord, as we go through these difficult times of life. Lord, I just thank you for being with me. I thank you for walking with me, and I can't wait to be astounded by what you do, Lord. Lord, I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can you just stand and worship the Lord today?